Tim Skubick. How are you?
Hey, Tony.
Saw a story yesterday, and no one seems to know about it. I asked the president of a big insurance company, and he wasn't really sure about it, about the new health claim fee that may impact customers. The failure to pass this assessment could create a hole in the Medicaid budget. What do you know, Tim?
Well, this is the so-called 1% medical fee that the governor needs in order to balance the budget. And you're correct. If he doesn't get this, there's about a $2 billion hole in the state budget, which is a good piece of change. It did clear the Michigan Senate before the guys left before the 4th of July. The House will not take it up until the fall. It is being described by some conservatives as a tax increase, which is not a very popular thing with some Republicans who will be running for re-election. The governor really says there is no choice here. If we don't do this, we lose federal Medicaid dollars, and it's about $800 million that we get from the feds, so this actually brings money in. And he is doing pretty much what John Boehner said in Washington last night. He's doing a tax increase, or proposing one, by broadening the base, that is, allowing more people to pay it, and lowering the rate. The current rate is 6%. This would go down to 1%. So it's in the hopper. It's a top priority for him, but they won't be finalizing it, if they do, in the Michigan House until the fall.
I'm glad you brought up Speaker Boehner, because I wanted to get your perspective on a question. I know you cover state politics.
Yeah.
But we have this big debt ceiling issue, and you have the Democrats over here who have been accused of wanting to raise taxes and end some incentives for business, which would, again, cause them to perhaps lose funding. And then you have the Democrats, or the president, or excuse me, you have the Republicans who want to cut out whatever they can to balance the budget. It seems to me, Tim, that if you don't have the money to pay for things, no matter what you have to do, you have to do it. And it seems like the president and the Democrats are resisting that.
Well, I want to be very careful here, because I don't cover Washington. But
yes.
I did watch the president's news conference yesterday. And the point that he made, and he would correct you very quickly on what you just said, it is not a overall general tax increase on every Tom, Dick, and Harry in the country. It is closing a tax loophole on some corporations, such as the oil companies, which last time I checked are making a few dollars, and on corporate jets and things of that nature. So he's raising money by closing loopholes. That is not a general tax increase. Now, he said in the news conference that some Republicans are describing it and giving you the impression, because you're not paying attention as a citizen, oh my God, this is a tax increase on everybody, and it is not. So his point is, we can't cut our way through this deficit problem. We will need some new revenue. And even Mr. Boehner conceded the point in his news conference that he would be open to, although he didn't describe the details, but of finding some sort of a tax where you could broaden the base and lower the rate. So they went back into meetings yesterday, and I have no idea what happened. But, they've got to do something, because you don't want to have the federal government in default. And by the way, everybody's concerned that Social Security checks would be cut off. That would not happen. Even if the government shuts down, that would continue. Supposedly food stamps would continue. Obviously, the parks would be closed, and there would be obviously a lot of lost services. But some of the essential things that people need to put food on the table would continue if they don't get this thing done.
In the Morning Sun, you recently wrote that you believe the governor is making the transition to government. It's been interesting. He hasn't won all the battles, but he seems to be making the check marks on his to-do list. And I find it interesting in watching the lieutenant governor work. He's out there working the streets, if you will, and it has been an interesting transition.
Well, it's been an interesting combination between the two of them, and they have worked very well together. Other lieutenant governors have been told by their governors that you're going to have a broader responsibility, and something happens between that statement and the actual reality. As you and I have talked about before, the popular wisdom was Jennifer Granholm underutilized John Cherry. I can't even remember previous governors, lieutenant governors. Oh, Dick Posthumus, you know, he did stuff for Engler, but at the end of the day, Engler called all the shots. Martha Griffiths didn't do too much with Jim Blanchard. She presided over the Senate and was like a schoolmarm when she did. She was, you know, she was sort of there. So they are rewriting the playbook on lieutenant governors, and Callie has been the point person for this governor. And the reason he was hired is that Snyder conceded that he didn't have the legislative experience that Callie had. It was only 2 years, but it was still 2 years more than Snyder, Mr. the governor, had. So it's been an interesting combination between the two of them. I think they get along well. I think they trust one another. And they're both doing some pretty heavy lifting. And I think he has made the transition from CEO, where you run the whole show, to being governor, where you think you run the whole show, but you really don't.
Tim, on this program, you've talked about Mr. Ageema. You've talked about Governor Snyder maybe having some challenges with the conservative Republicans, yep. But you believe that Mr. Ageema has helped keep that agenda alive.
Well, there are wedge issues that Republicans want to get into. Just mark my words on this. The governor went into a Senate Republican caucus a couple of weeks ago, and this issue was raised. Governor, when are we going to get to do some of the stuff that we want to do for the base of the party? Now, for people that don't understand what that is, the base of the party is those are the people that elect you to office, that you need to get elected. Those are your conservative Republicans. And so they've got to throw them some red meat. And the governor is not a red meat thrower when it comes to these issues. So push is going to come to shove here in the fall, I believe, over some of these issues. And Ageema is involved in it. And the governor can't go to Ageema and say, David, I just don't want to deal with these things. Put down and be quiet, okay? As you know, he's not the kind of guy that would do that. And I think there are others that will simply say, you know what? Governor, we gave you 6 months of what you wanted. Now it's our turn.
Did you write in Scoop's blog on Sunday?
Our posting wasn't until Sunday night.
All right. Was that blogging reader beware?
Oh, yeah, that was mine.
All right. I wanted to make sure, because as you know, someone's been hijacking your blog
putting
stuff in there. But that made me think of that when I saw that, because a lot of folks are blogging now and spewing information. And
God, it's awful. I think it is wonderful that people are getting involved in the process. Don't get me wrong. If you want to blog and blog your brains out, be my guest, okay? It's a great country. But what I was trying to point out is that the people that are consuming that, take a deep breath, folks, okay? These are not practicing journalists who double-check their sources and make sure that it's true. Opinion is fine. But there's a difference between opinion and informed opinion. And it's just sort of blogger, reader, beware, because some of this stuff is just, as the governor pointed out in the piece, why would you ever want to read it? Now, look, if you have nothing else to do and you have no life and you want to read on the blogosphere till you're blue in the face, be my guest.
What's a challenge for this, and coming from a sports background, you see it a lot more in that genre, Tim, is folks don't put their name and address and phone number and picture there, so you don't know who's spewing this information.
Well, and you have no idea what their background is. You can pretty much figure out what their agenda is, because it is slanted one way or the other. I always love the stuff people that respond to things that I write, and I get it from both sides. Scooby Q, obviously, are a liberal Democrat, and then the other side said, boy, oh, boy, you're a Reagan Republican, and which is fine, because everybody views what you do through their own prism of what their political beliefs are. And what they don't realize is that if I was one or the other, I could not have survived in this town for 42 years doing what I'm doing, because one side or the other wouldn't be talking to me.
Well Tim, and maybe I'm on the right track, because I get nasty letters from both sides.
That's good. Nobody likes to get nasty letters, but that's exactly the way it should be. And it also says that the people need to just sharpen up a little bit and try to figure out what's good information and what's not.
What are you working on for Channel 6 tonight?
I got none. I got none.
Do you start to get panicky when it gets, you know, 2-3 o'clock?
No. I'll start making this stuff up.
As you will wander around, you know, downtown, you always run into stuff anyway.
It is amazing.
You just got to stick your nose in the dirt, huh?
Well, people come up to you. When you have been around for a long time, People would say, hey, Skubik, did you know such and such was going on? No, I didn't. Hey, thank you very much. So the phone number is... we'll be giving out 25 cents for the best news tip of the morning.
All right. We'll talk with you soon.
Tony, always a pleasure, my man.